The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
They're on the ice in Vancouver, and this is a special day for the San Jose Sharks. It's the final day that we have a game before Christmas, but it's also the very first time that Macklin Celebrini gets to play hockey in his hometown in the National Hockey League. Drew, I know that that sounds like a nothing thing, but this is a big deal here in this community, too, because of the passion that the fans have for the game of hockey, the fact that they love the Canucks, but they also love their hometown players. And that North Vancouver hockey organization has produced so many great NHL players over the years. It's a matter of local pride to see this kid get on the ice. But what do you think he's going through his mind right now?
I think for him, because he's so strong mentally and so dialed in and focused, that he's just thinking right now, stay with the routine. Be where your feet are. Stay with the routine. I don't think much gets him bothered. You know, he goes up against Ryan Warsawski, puts him against other teams' top lines, other teams' top players, and we talked about it last game before on the pregame show. He played against Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Connor McDavid. That was the 12th and 13th number one overall picks he's played against so far this year. Does he look out of place?
No.
Not at all.
How about him going against McDavid last game? Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
You know, I asked Brian Wiseman about that. So you know what skill's going to do. You know what? You know what I mean? So you know they're going to try to outskill you so you can try to outskill them. If you're going up against, say, a line that's a checking line and a hard-nosed physical line, if you try to match them up that way, you're going to get ran over more times than not. So it's a smart move by a coach to say, we're going to go our skill versus their skill and make it work. But Ryan knows that Macklin doesn't get overwhelmed. He just stays with the program, so to speak, his own program.
I think he gets excited about the opportunity to play against him, and so that's the other part. But here's another little factor that might have nothing to do with the San Jose Sharks, but might have a little more to do with Macklin, and that is that they wanted to see how he would defend against guys like that. And I'm thinking February, Four Nations Tournament, maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe Doug Armstrong says, you know what, I might get this kid and put him in.
Well, you're like me. You talk to a lot of people. You go to every rink in the NHL now, and general managers or scouts will talk to you or opposite the other broadcasters, and that's the topic of conversation that comes up, is Macklin. And everybody is blown away by Macklin's ability, but not just with the puck. His takeaway ability, his ability to take a face-off, key moments. It's very hard not to get highly excited about the future for Macklin Celebrini and the Sharks.
Well, what excites me, too, is how he's ramped up just during this season. And, you know, we've seen a variety of great stars come to the league. Patrick Marleau, when he first came in, he ramped up his first season, but it took him maybe a little bit longer. He's probably a little bit more on the lines of where Will Smith is. Joe Thornton, I think he had 3 goals his first season in the NHL. Now, part of that was because Pat Burns didn't totally trust rookies, no matter how good they were, and he had some bangs and bruises there, too. But still, the fact that he's ramped up so much is really interesting. Looking at the way the guys are on the ice, Drew, it looks like we might see a couple of changes. And let's go back to that last game against the Edmonton Oilers. It was a game in which you could see what the ultimate result was for a while. Yeah. Yaroslav Askarov was absolutely incredible in the second period. 23 saves in one period, especially against that team. Yeah, okay, Draisaitl missed the open net. Hyman missed the open net a couple times. But still, I think that has to give the team incredible confidence for the future.
Sure. when you look at where those shots came from, the high danger chances, there was a large majority of them of the high danger variety. The one thing that struck me on that game is that Yaroslav was enjoying himself.
How about him stick handling with the puck?
Like, that was so great. And then, again, I'd rather have a guy that you just, yeah, that's that. That's who he is. Don't want to pull him back from the, don't want to pull him back. I like, because that's part of his game. But when the camera would go on him, we would see, and he would be smiling after a big save. He enjoys, he like Macklin, enjoyed the challenge and rose to it. And honestly, if Fabian Zetterlund takes two hard steps with 17.3 seconds left to go, he picks up Ekholm, and that game could have been a San Jose Shark win.
It really could have been. And, of course, the big guys got out there for the Edmontonians. McDavid, three assists, ended up with that third one on that play you're just describing. It's just little plays like that, so close. But it looks like today, Mikael Granlund's going to move to the left wing to play with Celebrini and former Canuck Tyler Toffoli. By the way, over the course of the last couple of years, Toffoli has a very good record against Vancouver. He's in the top six in scoring in the last couple of years against this team, one which he played for briefly. So I think that he's going to be an interesting factor tonight. But what about Granlund moving over to the wing? I've noticed in the last few games he's been struggling in the faceoff circle, and that's not generally like him. He's usually around 50-55%. I think he was 1-9 last game against the Oilers. Maybe something's bothering him. Who knows?
I don't know on that. I think this is might be a situation where you're trying to load up the one line and give Macklin the best possible cast to help him have a big night and find some line to work. The Zetterlund, Granlund, Ekholm line spent a lot of time in the last two games in their zone, and they haven't been sharp. There's been a couple of times where they've had some offensive push going, but again, it's Ryan Morozovsky trying to find some sort of balance and some sort of consistency from line to line.
Well, I like this one. You got Wennberg, who's very consistent, playing in between Will Smith and William Ekholm. Ekholm's, as you said, had his moments. I still think that Will's on the verge of some kind of an explosion. I'm hoping it's tonight.
So does he. I just talked to him, and so does he. He's really close. And one thing that they want him to do, obviously, is take care of the puck, but they still want him to be aggressive and take pucks and hold on to them and get to the net and use that shot.
Ty Dellandrea gets back in on the fourth line. Luke Cunnan moves to the center position, which he's played a lot of. I've really liked his game the last few games. And then on defense, kind of tough to see that Jake Walman doesn't look like he's going to play. That means Henry Thrun and Cody Ceci will be the top D pair. Thrun has looked good since he's been back in the lineup, but this is a big responsibility for him going up against JT Miller and Pettersson and Besser.
Well, we talked about it before. The coaches told him to get back quicker, move pucks quicker, be more physical, get your feet moving. And then as Henry kind of smiled and said, basically, they told me to just be better. And he has been better. He has been more engaged and getting his feet moving. Well, one thing, as we know, with talking to Coach Borisovsky, it's all about skating. Keep skating, 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 skating. And Henry's adaptable. He's a very smart player. He's going to be just fine.
Let's talk about the Canucks. They've had a little controversy going on around here the last couple of days. And this is the one place, other than Edmonton, maybe Toronto, where the external noise, that peripheral opponent, is such a big factor. Rick Tocchet is so good at keeping his guys on an even keel. And Quinn Hughes, their captain, is like that. But I don't put too much jazz into what they're talking about with Pettersson and with Miller. And they're going to eventually start scoring. And when you start scoring and you start winning and you don't lose to Ottawa in overtime, then all of a sudden things feel better.
Yeah, winning cures a lot of ails, that's for sure. Listen, the biggest myth in professional sports is that everybody loves each other on a team and they all get along and it's all, you know,
roses and sunshine.
Exactly. It's not, as we know. There are teams that there's a lot of different personalities. There are a lot of guys, they're all type A personalities. And sometimes you get along with guys, sometimes you don't. But if that personality rift starts to disrupt your team and prevents you from being part of the team and winning, then something needs to be done. So that's what they're trying to avoid here with Pettersson and Miller. But does it affect your game? And this is where you need your teammates to step in. This is where you can't look at the coach and hope the coach solves it. It's about the guys.
It's going to be an interesting one. We're on the air at 5:30 today. Old-time hockey. Drew will be on with me on the Sharks warm-up show. Until then, That is our Sharks Morning Skate Show today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.